come, come, come uninvited. Fire. I don't care which side that you fight it. Gonna get you gone.
Welcome back, everybody, to Rack Rants, a Killjoys fan podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Hank.
And we finally get to talk about a new episode of Killjoys. This is the first time for us breaking down any episode of Killjoys. We hope
ever.
That... Yeah, ever. Exactly. Now I get to ask you all my questions about Killjoys. So you said you wanted this, Hank. You may be regretting that later because I have so many freaking questions about this episode that we just finished watching. We're talking about episode one of season two entitled Dutch and the Real Girl. And the quick synopsis of this episode is, after failing to rescue Davin, Dutch and Johnny head to Eulogy in the hopes of stealing a mysterious high-tech shield.
Or a real girl.
Yeah, Dutch right. And the Real Girl. I definitely love that title after great watching title. The episode because I was like, what's this Dutch and the Real Girl? What does that even have to do with anything?
And you know who she is, right? The girl that plays Clara?
I do not know who the girl is that
Stephanie
plays Clara.
Stephanie Leonidas from Defiance. Remember the lead girl with the bright orange hair? You know, the alien girl, Irissa?
I only saw the first season. Okay, I've never watched Defiance ever.
I watched the first season. And then it kind of lost me a bit, and I didn't watch the rest. I think it lasted 3 seasons, I think.
I think so. I was, to be totally honest, I was super excited about the video game and the fact that it was going to tie into the world of the TV show Defiance, but I never got around to checking it out. I've heard that's a criminal sin of mine because I've heard Defiance is a really fun show once you get into it, and I know a lot of people were sad to see it go. And I heard that also Dark Matter has a tie-in to Defiance as well. I didn't know that this was the tie-in. I'm glad you brought it up because I had read something previously before season two of Killjoys started and before Dark Matter premiered tonight that they were going to have a little nod to Defiance. So I didn't know that was it, but that's really cool.
I know her, but awesome. I'm not sure who it is on Defiance.
You mean on Dark Matter?
I mean, on Dark Matter. Which Defiance person?
I don't know. And it may not have been a person. It may have just been like a nod. I would assume it's a person from Defiance. But yeah, I didn't read the full article. I just saw the headline. So,
all right. So you got questions.
I do have questions. We talked about it in our introductory podcast that I was going to go back and try to rewatch all of season one over again. I only made it up to episode 5, but then I went back and rewatched episode 10. So that way it would be totally fresh in my mind, which episode 10 was Escape Velocity. I'm super glad I went back and watched that because there was so many things that when I was binge watching it super fast that I missed.
Right.
That now I'm like, oh, okay, this is good that I went back and watched this because I had a question really quickly before we get into this episode, and it may tie into this episode, but there was a part in episode 10 where Klein, he gets a vial of something out of Davin's room.
Yes.
What was that?
The green goo.
Okay, that's what I thought, that it was the green goo.
We don't know exactly what it is yet. I'm thinking it's some kind of, I don't know, alien, you know, life form or something. It's still a mystery what it is exactly.
Well, how the hell did Davin have that in his room last season?
It came from... Damn, you know, I haven't seen these episodes since February. I watched them before.
No, it's fun.
I went to Toronto. But it had something to do with the girl that, you know, that Johnny was working with that was fixing the stuff. And he hid it in Davin's room. Johnny did.
Okay, that's Carlene, right?
Carlene. Yeah. I remember when he was talking to Carlene, he was hiding that in Davin's room because he got it. Oh, he got it. When he went into the rack, when they broke into the rack, he got a sample from that big bowl, that dish thing. That's right. That's how it was.
All right. Because I couldn't remember exactly what it was that was in Davin's room. That's a part of the larger plot that's going on within Killjoys for sure. It's like, what the hell is this green goo? You know, what's going on with Johnny? But that was Davin. What's going on with him? But yeah, that was something I was questioning when I went back and watched episode 10. And then another thing that I feel like is going to run right into this season, and that's why I'm bringing it up now, otherwise I wouldn't bring this up, is at the end of the episode, there's a DNA sequence that Johnny gets from Carlene.
Right.
Whose DNA sequence was that? Because it says level 6 on it.
It was Klein.
Is it Klein's?
I think that was Klein's.
See, I...
He's the only level 6, right? He's the only level 6 that...
Well, he's the only level 6 at that point in the season. Yeah. But for me, I was more of a revelation that I feel like it's Dutch's DNA.
Oh, really?
I don't know why I feel that way. And maybe I'm completely wrong and I missed something. But yeah.
Well, we saw that she was on Arkin in that dream Davin had. It's like, I was thinking, what the hell? Maybe she's a clone or maybe there's something else going on, you know?
I don't know.
You never know.
That's just something whenever I was rewatching episode 10 before I watched up, you know, before the premiere, I was like, whose DNA is that? Because we'd already found out that Klein was a level 6. Because they were like, I think we just met one. And,
yeah,
you know, they were like, oh, it's a level 6. And now maybe that was just, you know, reinforcing their questioning of whether or not Klein was a level 6. But I feel like there was something a little bit extra in there. But they didn't touch on it at all in this season 2 premiere. So before we get into what we're going to be doing is our top moments from each and every Killjoys episode. What did you think overall about the episode?
Oh, man, I loved it. It was worth the wait. I just loved that it picked up, you know, right where we left off. And they saved him. You know, we didn't waste 3 episodes looking for Davin.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, no filler. Just jump right in, you know, get shit done and on to the next thing. And they unlocked a bunch of new mysteries. The Black Root, you know, and why does he reject the goo and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be really interesting. Luke McFarlane had said that this season, there's something about Davin that's special. You know, and at that point, we had no idea what he was talking about. But I guess now we know. He rejects the green goo for some reason.
We know something's up with him. We don't quite know what it is yet.
What are you?
Yeah, that was one of my major questions from this episode is what the hell's up with Johnny's visions and this whole green goo thing? Because whenever he does have those visions, Klein is in the vision and he says, you're not supposed to be here yet. How the hell are you here right now? And we find out later in the episode that that's an old memory. And Davin, I keep saying Johnny. I'm going to kill these people's names, and people are going to be like, oh, my God, you don't even watch the show. But, yes, Davin's visions. Whose old memory is it? Because we don't know that. We don't know whose old memory it is. We see those, the Scarbacks. They're fighting somebody, I don't know, and then all of a sudden we see Dutch killing these Scarbacks.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
It can't be that old because Dutch was, you know, an adult. So it's not like we were seeing young Yelena or whatever. You know, she was already an adult. So how old can that memory be?
I don't know. Really? Yeah. Now, if she's a clone or something like you previously brought up, who knows how old she is? And we see in this episode, Klein has healing abilities like Wolverine. He can regenerate himself. But for some reason, whenever Davin's near him, he couldn't regenerate himself.
Yeah. I thought last season it has something to do with the nanites. Remember from the torture ship? I thought that experimentation was why Klein healed. But it seems like it has to do with the goo. It seems like it's got something to do with the green goo. Because he didn't heal, you know, when Davin's... Because he stabbed him with that thing that they've shoved in the back of Davin's neck.
Yes.
So I guess his blood was on it and whatever, so he didn't heal because he came into contact with Davin's blood. So
I guess
that has something to do with the green goo, yeah.
But I'm so confused in a great way. Like it was so much fun. The Killjoys as a whole in the beginning of season 1, it just kind of started out, it threw you right into everything and it was just fun.
I think that's the key word, that you can sit down and enjoy it and it's not gloom and doom and, you know, everything kind of end of the world shit. It's got this dark stuff going on, but they have fun throughout the adventure.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's a pleasure to sit down and enjoy that for the hour.
Exactly. You know? Oh man. I just want to live in this world because it's so much fun and so many cool mysteries that are going on right now.
It was around episode 5. I think that was the torture ship one. I don't remember the names right now of all the episodes, but that's when they started unlocking all this stuff and the whole Dr. Jaeger thing and all that, and it got really, really cool.
And I'm loving it. This premiere was fantastic. Do you think Davin Do you think with his abilities, whatever abilities that he has, do you think that he can make it where he can momentarily bleed? Because I still feel like he's hiding something at the very end of the episode. And, you know, they make him cut himself to make sure that he's bleeding and he's not like fancy, which RIP to regular fancy.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but it seems like there's more to level six, too, than we thought. We thought they were the big bad last year, but it seems like there's going to be a little more to it.
There's got to be more to it. Whenever they find out Fancy's a level six, they're like, oh, no, Fancy's level six. He's already gone. But yeah, to me, I'm thinking to myself, what does that even really mean at this point? Does being a level six automatically mean you're a bad guy? I know in the season one finale, Dutch had to fight off that level six guy.
Right.
I don't know what he was doing, though. I don't know if that level six guy was ultimately going to kill Dutch or if he was just sent there to incapacitate Dutch. So that way she couldn't go to Old Town or something.
Yeah, he was just playing with her. But I think it was Baelish that said something about the level sixes are mutants or, you know, their DNA is messed with. You know, they're all screwed up or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what they're afraid of.
I don't know. Yeah. These level six guys.
But Klein is, you know, fully functional for level six.
Yeah. So. He's fully functional. And those people that came to pick him up, were they the Black Root?
Yeah, the Black Root.
Okay, so.
Something to do with that symbol that was on the floor. But the guy said, it's a pleasure to meet you or something.
Yeah.
Before they shot the shit out of him.
Yeah, and then whenever they delivered Klein's body, and he was in that little, basically like a little coffin. Right. And he said, bring him to the lady.
The lady, yeah.
Who the hell's the lady?
I don't know.
Okay, and then we see...
That's another mystery coming up.
Exactly. Then we see Fancy take those dudes out. So is Klein just the only reason why he's recruiting these people for level six is to be like a part of his little squad?
Yeah. It seems like they're looking out for him.
That's like definitely...
He makes them level six. And they stick together compared to the bigger threat or whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know what the bigger threat is yet. I'm excited
to find
out.
That's why he wants Dutch to be level six.
If she's not already level six.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like, the whole clone scenario definitely makes a lot of sense, but it could be very interesting if it went that way.
Yeah,
I don't know if they would, since, you know, Orphan Black's such a popular show, and it's almost like if you did another clone show, how well would that go over with everybody?
But look, I mean, if you have little moments of it, like in 12 Monkeys, when the two Jennifers met, that was epic.
That's true.
And it was just that quick moment. And so I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a full blown Orphan Black where it's like multiple Dutches going around like taking people out. I say that now, but if they did it and it was like super fun, maybe I would, you know, I would be changed.
Yeah, I love doppelgangers.
Oh, you
do? I love doppelgangers. Yeah, for Fringe, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whenever they throw an Orphan Black, it's just fun.
Okay, getting back into Killjoys. Yeah, there's so much mystery, so much intrigue with this episode. I think they definitely laid a really, really solid foundation for the rest of the season, trying to figure out what's going on with all these questions that we've got to get answered. It's going to be a whole lot of fun unraveling some of these questions. So
it's definitely going to be I think it's definitely going to be much more serialized this year. Like, we know who everybody is and what's going on. And, you know, we're going to be following this story through the 10 episodes instead of just kind of chasing random Warrens. You know, and introducing the world and all that, which they had to do in the first season. But before we go into the top three, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the change of the intro in the credit sequence at the top?
Okay, at first, I will admit, because you shared this with me about a month ago, whenever they first decided to change it.
Yeah, I didn't like it at first. I was like, what?
Yeah, and I didn't like it either. Like, I really didn't like it. And I still am not, I'm like lukewarm on the intro at this point. Because for our intro podcast, I put the season one.
Yeah, I noticed intro. And I like that.
I do. I like it so much. It's such a great intro. It gets you right into the show.
Yeah, it was a cool vibe, you know.
I think it's more the song, right?
Right, yes. I think it's the song.
Yeah, because the intro is fun.
The one that's going on now in the second season is kind of like one of these, you know, that you can use for YouTube videos or whatever, you know, that come from a stock library or something. That's what it reminds me of, where the other one had a little more of a personality to it.
Well,
but I've gotten used to it already by now.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I think I've seen it a few times now, just through like seeing teasers and trailers and whatnot. So it wasn't as shocking to me as the first time that I watched it. But I don't know. I wish they would just, yeah, the song is the only thing to me, because that is one of the best things about Killjoys is the music in Killjoys. It's so much fun. It fits the mood perfectly. And I'm not saying it doesn't fit the mood for the intro, but for whatever reason, the old intro for season one, it just like got you so pumped. You're going right to the episode. You knew where you're about to have a blast watching Dutch, Johnny, and Davin, you know, go on their little adventures. So
I think it's hard for fans when you switch something up like that, like such a big, you know, change from the first season to the next.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was expecting that. And I saw a lot of nasty comments and stuff in the group. And I was like, guys, it's just an intro, you know?
Well, I mean, that's a big deal, though. I mean, we've watched shows where that can change your mood for the rest of the episode. Because, you know, a lot of TV shows, they start out, they give you a little teaser, and then they have like some kind of big revelation at the end of that teaser or something shocking that happens, and then boom, it cuts to the intro, and then you go on throughout the rest of the episode. I feel like I know other shows have done it, but since my mom and I, we cover The Walking Dead, we've covered it for many years now, so that's like my point of reference. I feel like they have like really, really honed in on that. And something that they've done that's been good is that they've just made little subtle changes to the intro.
They're so subtle, it still feels the same. It still feels like the same intro.
Yeah.
Where this is a completely different deal.
It is. It is a completely different deal. I think we'll get used to it. But yeah, I agree. It still hasn't won me over quite like that season one intro where it was just immediate. I loved it so much.
Right.
But
yeah, I miss it. Miss that one. So at least I can hear it on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I'll keep it on the podcast just for you, Hank. So let's get into our top three moments from this episode of Killjoys. And I say moments, that's a very loose term because I'm very bad at coming up with favorite individual moments or scenes. Mine usually are like the entirety of the episode is my favorite moment.
I love that part when, and it's like the whole ending.
Yeah, exactly. I love the entire middle half of the episode. It was really fantastic.
Well, I'm gonna pull kind of one of those with my number three.
No, that's fine. Do whatever you want, man. This is your show.
I love that Pri got to get out from behind the bar and be part of the adventure. So I really love the scene in Eulogy where they're posing as a couple. And they're mm-hmm. bickering back and forth. And Johnny says, because your mother's a bitch or whatever. And everything just goes quiet. It's like, you don't disrespect your man. That whole thing. And just Pri's face, you know, Tom Allison is amazing. So I really, really enjoyed that whole part. And their costumes and everything, you know, and that scene on Eulogy.
No, I'm right there with you. That was in my top three as well. Because, yeah, Pri is he's a great character. He had so many comedic moments to every episode that he gets put in. And in season one, you know, season one, he didn't get a whole lot. I mean, it was nice because they, you know, the gang always came back to the bar whenever they finished up serving a warrant and everything. So it was always nice getting to see him. And yeah, that was one of my favorite things as well. I loved his nickname, Big Daddy Scrimshaw.
Yeah.
What a
it's crazy
nickname.
All these aliases.
Yeah,
so I'm sure we're gonna find out. They had said we were gonna learn a little more about Pri, but I'm sure we're gonna find out even more as we move along through the season.
Well, yeah, that's like a big question too. It's maybe it's not as big of a question of what's going on with that green goo crap, but right. You know what did he go to prison for? I mean, I love the fact that he was basically their way into Eulogy and everything because. You've got the genuine deal right here.
The genuine badass, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like he was hiding out on Westerly in that bar, you know, trying to keep a low profile.
It's always the bar owners, man. They're always like, you know, a little bit seedy. You don't know what's going on with them. They know the ways of the world because they used to be like doing something criminal. So, yeah, I really like Pri. Yeah, you're right. The whole their whole adventures, him and Johnny, they were great in this episode. I love the I'm not wearing my dying underwear. That was another great line as well.
And I rhyme when I'm nervous.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, he's just great. And it's so cool when I watch the episode, you know, that kind of that room where they all meet in and they I don't know what you call it, but you know, where they're planning out the mission and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I walk through all that stuff. You know, those passageways inside Lucy in the cockpit. And so now I'm looking at it like, shit, I was in there. You know, that's so damn cool. It's like when you watch a movie or something and you've got Paris or London and you remember the time that you visited that city or whatever. I visited Lucy. That's fucking nuts.
That is pretty awesome. And you have pictures of all this?
Yeah, yeah.
Where are these pictures at?
Oh, they're private.
What?
They're locked away in my private collection.
How dare you, Hank?
No, we couldn't take pictures inside because they don't let you take cameras, you know, past a certain point. But the pictures that the official sci-fi photographer took are online. I've put them up on Instagram, and I'm not sure if I put all of them up on KillJoysTV.net.
But they can go see some of them at KillJoysTV.net?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure the other sites have posted these types of things as well, but it's always kind of nice to see the pictures that you've actually seen and been able to post, and that's always a lot cooler because, I mean, it holds a little bit more value, I think, than just random things. Like, I watched the Walking Dead attraction thing. I watched a video. It was great, but it wasn't the same as if I knew somebody that was actually there at that attraction, so... No, that's really cool. Getting to see Lucy, would be amazing. I think that's one of my favorite things about the show is I'm a big Halo fan, and you know Halo has Cortana, and I love that Killjoys has Lucy.
And it is cool, the dashboard and all those monitors inside Lucy work. You know, they're actually,
oh, really?
It's not green screen stuff. No, they work because they want the reflections to bounce off the glass.
Wow.
You know, and then they use that with the green screen and it feels like, you know, you're really there.
That's awesome.
So all that stuff works. It's really cool.
That is incredible. I'm excited to see more from Lucy this season. Okay, so that was my number two was the Big Daddy Scrimshaw, because I thought that was just hilarious. But my number three is the fake out opening.
The dream. Yeah, that was nuts.
it was a crazy, crazy opening. And what was so odd about it is because we left off season one in such a dire circumstance. Like, things were going to shit in the end of season one. And then you open up Killjoy season two at this premiere and you have like all of the fun. It's like all of the awesomeness of our Killjoys that that we watch the show for, you know, their interactions and their
play off one another. Miss you bastards.
Yeah, exactly.
all that stuff. And the big kiss and all that.
I loved it. I mean, we're outnumbered by a factor of holy time shit. And then you had the little bomb thing that went 5, 4, 3, 2, oops. And I just loved it so much. And then it's just like, whoop, they just pulled the rug right out from under us. And you're like, oh, it's no, we're still in the shit right now. So,
yeah,
that was it was a whole lot of fun though, and even though, you know, we knew that, well, once we find out that that's not reality, it was still really cool, and I think that was that nice little reminder of how much fun the show is before we got into some of the more deeper and meatier stuff of this episode, which I really enjoyed.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I loved it too.
Awesome. What's your number two?
My number two was Davin rejecting the goo. When everything just like bounces off him, and then the scene with Klein and trying to understand what he is, you know, and then shoots everybody dead in the room. Because Klein, you know, you're thinking, well, maybe he's not, you know, the bad guy, because we've already heard, well, we've seen that he cares about Dutch and all this. And that was just proof he don't give a shit about anybody. You know, you just shot all your guys. And he's like, that's debatable.
Are they really my guys? I don't know about that. Yeah, no,
so
that whole
scene on Arkin and the conversation between Davin and Klein was really cool, really interesting and different, because I was thinking, you know, what the hell is he going to do to, you know, to Davin with this green goo? And I was never expecting kind of this partner up and that he was going to let him go. Dutch is here, you know, and she pays attention to you. So he just let him go like that. That was pretty interesting.
Well, it is really ironic, and Klein mentions this in the episode, the fact that, you know, that's how, or actually maybe this was in the finale, because since I just watched it as well, that Davin's the reason why he once again found Dutch. So it's all coming full circle, because it's like, okay, Davin was the one that they had the warrant for. What the hell's going on with Davin? Like, what is he really? What was going on for those years that he was gone, that he was in the military? What was the military doing to him? I'm assuming that this is the company that may be behind all of this. Do you think that that's who ultimately is behind all of this? Because the companies, they're bastards. The company's like bastards.
Part of the Black Root and all that?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that they, you know, they bombed everything in the finale. Yeah. And they kind of doesn't seem like they, who do they answer to? Who does the company answer to?
I don't know.
I don't either. Who knows these questions?
What did they say? The woman?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, I want to find out, and I want to know who Klein really is, and I want to know who Davin really is, or what Davin really is.
Yeah. And it's cool also that Davin had a different understanding of Klein. In that section, and said, I don't think he's your enemy, you know. So that sets up that they're gonna go after, they're gonna try and find out who's got Klein, you know, where he ended up, and they're gonna, you know, probably try and find him to get more answers.
Yeah. Do you think he's really a bad guy, or do you think he's actually good? Or is he somewhere in that gray area?
Yeah, I thought he was somewhere in the middle, yeah, for the longest time. He's got weird methods, but there's something, you know, that he definitely cares about Dutch and protects Dutch. So I think he asked Davin, would you die for her as a test? You know, if you're willing to do that, okay, I'm going to let you go. And I know that you have her back while he's incapacitated or whatever.
Yeah, you can stay around, Davin, if you'll die.
Yeah, he's a bastard. But when it comes to Dutch, I think that's different. That's a whole different thing. He may be her real father or something.
I don't know. I'm excited to find out. Hopefully we will get those questions answered.
I am your father, Dutch.
God, if he does that, that's going to be pretty epic. I can't see Klein doing that, though. He's so reserved. No. All right. So my number two was the Big Daddy Scrimshaw. So I'll go ahead with my number one, and you can do your number one after that.
Unless it's the same one.
I don't think it probably is the same one, knowing us, because I think we think a lot alike sometimes when we watch these episodes. But yeah, my number one is the introduction of Clara and
me too. Shut up.
I mean,
Clara and Alice.
Alice especially. I mean, trust me, you're gonna want Alice, and I'm like, hell yes, we definitely want Alice, because Alice is freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was definitely my number one too. The hack mod.
Yeah.
And Stephanie Leonidas. I loved her. And by the time that she was leaving, I was like, no, can we keep her? You know, like Lucy said, can we keep her? So I'm hoping that, you know, she mentioned the factory and all that stuff. I'm hoping that's going to come back around and that she comes back, because I really liked her that much to see her again.
Well, this is the one time that Johnny's girl didn't die.
That's true.
Like that's the first time. I mean, most of the time they all die and everything, and that's what I wrote down in my notes. I'm like, another girl leaves Johnny. I mean, just as he starts to, you know, stoke some fires of maybe some kind of romantic thing going on, even though I don't know, because Clara was kind of digging Lucy a little bit.
Yeah, that's true, right?
I don't know if that was the Alice part of Clara or not, but there was definitely something going on there as well. But I'm with you. I hope she comes back. I think she was just this ultimate badass. Actually, she reminded me of Claire Redfield, I believe, from Resident Evil. I think maybe it's just because her looks. She kind of looks like her from the games and everything. And Claire is a badass in Resident Evil games, and so is Clara. Is a badass as well. And
shooting their way out of Eulogy, you know, with her and Dutch.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was freaking amazing.
I thought she was going to die multiple times in this episode, though. I was like, what? They're going to introduce her, this badass with a freaking shotgun arm? That's like straight out of Evil Dead.
Right.
Except it's a chainsaw arm. So, right. I loved her so much. I hope she does make her way back into the show. I think that she's an interesting character, and I liked her as an addition to the team overall. I mean, obviously I liked the core three. You know, we got more Pri in this episode, and he went on the mission with them. But the way they did that, it worked.
No, even when she said, "You guys are weird," you know, it was cute. It was a cute moment. Like, you know, everybody was thinking that these guys are so messed up. So yeah, no, I agree. She really fit in nice. So hopefully, we'll see her back at some point. But they wouldn't introduce. You think what were the name of the guys that put that device in her?
The Conover gang.
Conover, yeah, and they had pictures and everything in the, you know, on the screens. So I doubt they would just randomly introduce them to never touch on it again. That's one of those things that it's got to come back.
Well, especially, you know, when we're thinking about level six as a whole and these hack mods and these mutilating of people and everything, it feels like they should somewhat tie in together.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. I'm not 100% certain on that. So I'm just excited that we're going to find out, because we're going to get more Killjoys this season. We got 9 episodes left. Next week's episode is Wild, Wild Westerly.
Yeah.
Such an awesome episode title. Before we sign off on our discussion of Dutch and the Real Girl, we like to do our scores out of bacon, because bacon is the greatest thing on earth. I'm sorry if you're vegetarian, but you're wrong on this one, because bacon's freaking awesome. So out of 5 bacons, what do you give Dutch and the Real Girl?
Oh, man, 5.
Five.
I've been waiting for this for a year, but you know I'm easy.
You are the easiest, for sure.
I loved it. I loved it. I can't wait to watch it again and again and again.
It was really good. I'm excited to... This is going to be one of those episodes that we look back to whenever we get into 8, 9, and 10, and whenever some of these mysteries are unraveled, and we look back and we're like, oh, man, this is when it started. These are, you know, this is the seeds being planted. So for me... I'm not quite 5, and the only reason why I don't give it a 5 is because I'm like, then what do the other ones get? Because this one was epic. I'm gonna give it 4.25 bacons out of 5. Right. Okay. So I think we've got more awesomeness to come.
I think the only time my bacons go down is when we're talking about The Strain.
I think so. I think that's the only time you don't give episodes 5 my out of 5 bacons.
Like, no freaking bacons for you this week.
Yeah. Yeah, what's worse than what's like almost bacon, but it's not real bacon?
Spam.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Strain gets spams out of spam. So you get 1 can out of spam cans. All right. So if you want to interact with us and let us know your thoughts on the episodes as we go along in Killjoys season 2, you can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. It's rantpocalypse. It's all one word on Twitter, and go check out rantpocalypse.com, the website.
And it's not as hard to spell as it sounds.
No, you just put rant.
Took me a little while. Yeah, just rant and pocalypse.
Exactly. Did I give the email right? Did I say rantpocalypse@gmail.com? Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I did. Okay. My brain's a little wishy-washy right now. So, and you can follow Hank's Killjoys account. It is @KilljoysTVF.
Yeah, Killjoys TVF on Twitter and also on Instagram. And I'm also doing a few different articles at killjoystv.net.
Awesome. Well, go check out all of our Killjoys coverage at all the many places. And definitely let us know your thoughts. And if you like our discussions, please hit subscribe so you'll get more of them. We'd love to get a rating and review from you. Even if it's things to improve upon, just let us know. We're a little rusty to the podcasting game, because we haven't podcasted basically since The Strain. It's been a while. We did one 12 Monkeys, but then we fell off because, yeah, we suck. We suck. So, but 12 Monkeys, congrats. It got renewed.
Yes.
It's an awesome, awesome show. If you're a fan of Killjoys and you don't watch 12 Monkeys, do yourself a service and go watch that as well. So that's it. I think we're done talking. Now it's your turn to talk at us via either Twitter, social media, or Gmail. So we want to hear all your thoughts. Let us know. And thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back next week to recap episode 2.
Yeah, can't wait.
Me either. Bye-bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar. tell you something, all that glitters ain't gold. Hey, hey, it's been a long old